learn and grow. See, that's the way we should walk into church. Yeah. Should be running in. Right? Yeah. A couple things just as they're filing out. First of all, Andrew and I just also today just want to personally thank you for your generous gifts, God, that you gave to us during Christmas. We just so much appreciate your generosity to us. It's a pleasure and it's humbling to serve you and to lead you. And we count it an honor to do that. And so we thank you so much for that. And secondly, I do encourage you, strongly encourage you. How's that? Greatly encourage you to come out this afternoon for our community service. And we've been working on it pretty hard. And there's a lot of pastors involved that and a lot of special things that are going to be going on that particular service. And so we're really looking forward to it. And we're uniting churches together. The church, you know, the church in Logansport, there's only one church in Logansport. It's His church. It's Jesus' church, right? And it might have different flavors and different expressions of His church, but we're all one. And so we're going to come out and proclaim that in the afternoon, and I encourage you to come out for that. It's not a particularly long service, but I think it's going to be very meaningful and very powerful, and I encourage you to come out for that. Mikhail, it's free. That's you can't beat free, right? It's free. We're not even taking up an offering. We're just gathering, worshiping, getting encouraged with Scripture, with some good messages, and worshiping God. So it's going to be really good. So I just encourage you to come out for that. It'd be great to have a great, good Vineyard showing. Amen? Yeah. So, anyways, let's pray. And we're going to kick off the new year. Actually, our first Sunday, right, gathering in 2019. And so I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. If you are, just smile at me. Let me know you are. If you're not smiling, you're sleeping. No, I'm just kidding. God, we thank you that you're so faithful to come. Where two or three are gathered, you show up. And when you show up with your presence, you bring so many good gifts to us. Every good gift comes showering down from the Father of lights, and as your scripture says. And so we're looking, expecting, anticipating great gifts given to us. Today and moving forward into the new year, we are putting the past behind us, and we're looking ahead and seeing what powerful things that you can do in us and through us and for us. And so, God, we just ask that you would just encourage us today through the Scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got a Bible, you could turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm actually going to do something a little different today. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. I think it captures more of what the verses are saying in the New King James Version. So listen to what God's Word says in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So here we are. We're 6 days in to the new year, 2019. And it's kind of an interesting, it's a special year in several respects. For one, we are entering our 30th year as a Vineyard Church. 30 years. And you can, down the next several months, you can expect maybe some special types of celebrations that we're going to be just planning, just to celebrate that God has led us and that He wants the Vineyard here in Logansport, that He's established it. It's His church, and He's sustained us, and it's been a wonderful thing. Those of you that have been with us for the long haul, right? The whole haul, the whole journey, right? Several. You know that God has just come through time and time and time again, hasn't He? I mean, He's just been so amazing. So it's special in another light. It's going to be my 40th high school class reunion. That's pathetic, right? Yeah. Anyways, wow. When you say it like that, time flies. But here we are. We're in 2019, and I don't know about you, but like most New Year's, people are doing a lot of self-reflection. And usually there's some regret thrown into that self-reflection. Right? Because you know the drill. We painfully recognize that we failed to accomplish some of the goals that we set last year. And we actually fell short of achieving some very doable personal goals. Things that were easy, things that we should have been able to pull off, but we didn't. And so there's this little teeny measure of regret. We're like, oh. How many do that? Like every year it comes around, you're like, well, I didn't keep that one up, right? That one kind of fell by the wayside. And so we try again, right? We try again, and we think about new aspirations, and we think about new intentions, and we think about important changes that we need to make to make us be a better us, right? How many want to be a better you? I mean, who would say, no, I don't want to be, I mean, nobody would say, I don't want to be a better me, right? Everybody wants to be a better me. And so we put all these aspirations and intentions and, just changes or goals that we want to make, we put them in the form of focused words or a list of goals or strategic prayers, and we make a prayer, God, I vow to change this, or I vow to add this, or I vow to drop this out of my life. And you know, you do it, I do it, we all do these kinds of things. We set out, don't we, just to narrow even the distance that we feel from God, and maybe even rid ourselves from the guilt that we experience because we feel this gap between God and us, and every year we try to narrow the gap, don't we? We try to narrow the gap between us and God, and so we set out goals to achieve that, to narrow the gap, and we recognize the coldness in our spiritual hearts, and we strive to increase passion and desire for Jesus. Anybody relate to these kinds of things? We're doing this, right? Every single year we try to do this. We determine to refocus our vision, don't we, to have priorities that are more about pleasing God than ourselves, or maybe even pleasing other people, that we want to please God. We want that to be the priority of our life, is to please God versus pleasing myself, letting us just be a narcissistic person, and that it's all about us, or that all of our focus is on we have to please other people, and you know that drill, don't you? That's kind of stinks. You can't do it, can you? And so however we go about it, most of us envision a better me. a better version of me, a 2019 version of me, right? And as Christians, we usually say, I want a closer relationship with Jesus, whatever that looks like to us. I want to live a cleaner, godlier life. I want attitudes, habits, words that more closely reflect the character of God. Who doesn't want that? If you're a Christian today, who doesn't want that? And we shape all this stuff in the requests. God, in 2019, I'm going to honor you better with my life. And then February rolls around. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. You know. And this week there was this phrase that was did you hear that? percolating in my heart and my mind this week. And it was one of those things where, have you ever thought that, is the Lord really trying to speak to me, or is that just me thinking? Everybody ever have that question? Is this God that's trying to get my attention, or is it just me, like, just dreaming this up in my head? Anybody? Raise your hand. Like, yeah, yeah. So the phrase that I kept hearing was, what if? What if? And I sat on that phrase, you know, for a while during the week, and then Thursday rolled around while I was sitting in a planning meeting for this afternoon's community service at McHale. We're back in our church, back in the fellowship hall, around a round table, and we're all talking. And I looked across the table, and Steve Ferris, he's the associate pastor at LifeGate Church. I don't know if you know Steve, but Steve's a good guy. So Steve Ferris was sitting across from me, and I look, and everybody's just talking. A lot of people are just talking, right? It's buzzing, right? But all of a sudden, I look across the table, and Steve is wearing this T-shirt that says, "What if?" And at that point, it was like, it's kind of like the movies, like all the sound just kind of fades into the background, and all the people became blurry, and then you just focused on this, what if, right? What if? And I'm like, okay, God, you got my attention. You got my attention. And now we usually entertain this question in a different way, generally. We look at all the problems that we face, don't we? And the things that might go wrong in our lives. And we play out all the what-ifs scenarios in our minds. And then we feel the anxiety rising inside of us as we're playing out all these what-ifs. You ever do that? Yeah. Or is it just me? Because if it's just me, I need therapy. No, sorry. But what I want to do this morning, what I want you and I to do today, is to look at our what ifs from an entirely new perspective. Let's take our what ifs and place them into the realm of what God can do in us. Amen? I was expecting at least more than Frost saying amen. Put our what-ifs in the realm of what God could do for us, what God could do to us, what God could do in us this year in 2019. What if? What if this is the year you really soar in your relationship with Jesus? What if this is the year? What if you could find greater freedom in your life? Freedom from worrying about what people think of you all the time. Freedom from the fears that paralyze you emotionally and mentally. Freedom from negative attitudes that just drag you down, not to mention dragging all the other people down around you, right? What if you could experience greater freedom in your life? What if you could somehow experience more joy, more laughter, more enjoyment in your life? Wouldn't that be nice? What if you could let go of the bitterness and the resentment and the pain caused by the offenses of others? What if you could actually forgive the people who have hurt you instead of nursing and feeding the anger and the rage that you have toward them because of what they did or what they said to you? What if you could do that? What if? What if you could envision good things happening in your life instead of always expecting the worst in your life? What if you could actually be grateful to God instead of offering all your prayer consists of offering up your bitter complaints to Him? That's what really consists of your prayer life, is offering bitter complaints to God. But what if you could be grateful to God? What if you experience God in worship on a regular basis? I mean, that where you actually felt His presence and you sensed Him speaking to you in your life as we were worshiping God here on Sunday mornings. What if you had a profound sense of the love and the affirmation of your Heavenly Father and you never doubted how God felt about you? You never had any doubts about how God felt about you. Wouldn't that feel good? And one more thing, what if the church was more than just a place to go to, but more of a movement to be a part of, where you actually feel like you are a part of something God was leading and using to reach other people with His love, right? What if, everybody say it, what if? What if this is the year when God answers all those prayers that you've been praying for so long? For your children to get right with God. For complete mastery over a spiritual problem that you've had. For your financial future to change. For your health to be restored. What if? And what if we truly believed that God was powerful? Period. Never to be outmatched, never to be outdone, never to be stumped. That there was nothing we could think or pray that God couldn't make happen. Can I tell you something? God wants to do those things in your life and my life. And more. So much more. In fact, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, it says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now that's powerful. And so God is wanting to bless each one of us with better blessings and better plans that we could ever dream up in our lives. And as I said before, this year marks a special year for us as a vineyard. We enter this 30th year of ours, and I believe God has bigger plans for us. I believe we've only really scratched the surface of really impacting our community for Jesus' sake. And so my prayer is, God, what's your plans for the next 30 years? What big things do you have planned for the next 30 years? You know, the Apostle Paul, he writes these verses in Ephesians that we just read, and he writes this emphatic response that answers the what if, any what if that we can propose. Now to Him who is able, say, who is able? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's actually a doxology. It's actually a psalm that the early church sung. They put it in the form of a song. And let me just say this, though. We're revving up. I feel like I'm revving up. We're revving up a little. But I'm aware that there are so many situations where God has not answered your prayers. He's not answered my prayers. Right? places where we didn't see him do more than we asked or imagined. How many have a place where you didn't see God do more than you asked or imagined? Maybe an unbelieving family member, you know, they were prayed for, they're still not saved. Broken marriage prayed for, still ended in divorce. Sick people who didn't get healed. I don't want to sound too pie in the sky this morning, because we do struggle in our prayer lives, don't we? How many struggle? We're simply in the dark about what God is doing. And I don't know about you. I don't claim to know all the ways that God is moving, all the ways that God is working. And so we experience sometimes disappointments in prayer, but this little caveat that I made, it doesn't change the truth about God. And the truth is like, what Paul does is he rubber stamps, like on an important form, the truth. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine. Sorry, just checking out. And that's the truth, right? And that and so that truth should motivate us to pray bigger prayers. Bigger prayers. And so I want to talk a little bit about this truth declaration that Paul makes, the Apostle Paul makes in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's just talk for just a little bit this morning. Paul's prayer for God to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, beyond what we ask or think, is not a prayer for physical miracles. Although we should pray for miracles. And we had a wonderful prayer breakfast yesterday. I think we had over 30 in attendance. Adults and teenagers and kids. And we prayed for healing for folks. And how many felt a measure of healing take place as a result of those prayers? Huh? Okay. Yeah. I could say that as well. But we should pray. How many believe we should pray for miracles? In fact, supernatural miracles of God is what is going to bring validity to the Christian message in our age. Because people are really not satisfied with just information about God. They want to experience the reality of God. People want to experience the reality of God. So we ought to be praying for healings, shouldn't we? For freedom from addiction, for physical healing to take place. Miracles, signs, wonders. We should be praying for those things. We should never hesitate to pray about those things. God, come. God, come in power. True? Amen? But that's not what Paul is really saying. What Paul is praying is that Christians will have Jesus firmly planted in their hearts. He's praying that Christians fully comprehend the expansive love of God in their minds and hearts, and that they will experience this deep spiritual maturity. But in layman's terms, let me just say this. This is what Paul has this... Paul's envisioning some things. Paul envisions Christians who are clear about being a Jesus follower. He envisions Christians who don't struggle with the idea that God loves them. He envisions Christians who don't wrestle with the same sinful hang-ups week after week, month after month, year after year. And so he envisions this. This is what a Christian this is what a Christian can become. Are you with me? And then he says, that's not a problem for God to pull off. Right? He's more than powerful and able to make that happen. And I think that's probably our biggest struggle sometimes with our own life. And when it comes to faith and maybe even some of the personal struggles that we have in our lives, is we're not convinced that God is powerful and able enough to do those things in our lives. We're not convinced. And so I think God wants to convince us. Now, there's so many reminders in this one verse for Ephesians 3:20. I just want to give you a few reminders in this one verse where God says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all we ask or think. The first thing is this. I think it's a good reminder. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we ask or think because he's omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Let's just say it. He is all-powerful. God spoke the entire universe into existence out of nothing by his word alone. Just a word, and creation appeared, came into existence. And we see that so many places in the Bible. We see it in Psalm 33. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all of their host came to be. For he spoke, the Bible says, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Who else can do that? There's only one person that can do that. God. Jeremiah proclaimed this. He said, ah, Lord God. You know this one? We used to sing it. We used to sing it back in the day, back in the 70s. Gosh. Right? Yeah. Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. I think I could break out in the song today. I have that memorized. You probably do too if you know that chorus. Every day, all around us, we have evidence to remind us of God's power. How many believe that? Look at the vastness of the universe, you know, the billions of galaxies containing billions of stars. Think about the complexity of our own bodies, how it can actually heal itself, how you can actually grow new arteries, right, in your heart. I mean, it's amazing that the Bible is, or the Bible, that the body is so complex. All the organs and veins and arteries and capillaries. I mean, it's just so complex, the human body is. And God made that. It's really, we should, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? Amazing. Have you ever thought about the incredible designs out there that are on a microscopic level? Have you ever swallowed a little gnat? You're just walking along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden this swarm of gnats are just like appear out of nowhere in front of you, and you're just like, you swallow a gnat, right? Obviously, you all have. Have you ever stopped to think? Have you ever stopped to think how difficult it would be to design a creature that small that could not only fly, but also eat and reproduce? You probably haven't. But I have. And they're everywhere. They're swarming. I mean, they're just like, we know they reproduce. It's like, you don't see just one gnat. There's never one gnat. Right? It's like the Exodus, man. It's just like, it's like one of the plagues. They just come and there's these huge swarms, you know, and it's like, yeah. That's on video. Our God is the God of all creation, for by him all things were created, whether in heaven or on earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Paul's trying to rubber stamp that reminder in Christians as he writes. Now, our God is the God of manifestation. And we've already talked about it. He said, light be, and there was light. God is the God of manifestation. He spread, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, says he spread his fingers and he made the universe. I was in Walgreens last night, and I was behind this Hispanic family, this little boy, cute little boy, and I came walking up behind him in line, and this little boy goes, and the little boy spread his fingers, and the man stepped back. You know, it's like, yeah, but God, I just reminded of that. It's just like, I mean, he did twice. You know, I was like, I was trying to inch up a little. I wanted to get closer to the counter, lay my back off from my mother. That's what he was saying. He spread his fingers and he made the universe. God is able because God is omnipotent. He's powerful. He is all powerful. He is supremely powerful. And secondly, God's power is seen when we as human beings are unable to do anything. Isn't it the whole point of prayer to ask God to do what we can't do in our own strength and ability? Isn't that the point of prayer? If we think that we can pull it off ourselves, we don't need to pray. Or I should say, if we think we can erroneously think we can pull it off, we don't need to pray. You know, in the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah were physically beyond the ability to conceive children. You might know this story. And in fact, the idea was so ludicrous that Sarah laughed out loud. And the Lord confronted her with this rhetorical question in Genesis 18. It said, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? God directed Moses and the Israelites to leave Egypt. You know that story? They came to a place where they have the Red Sea in front of them. They have the pursuing Egyptian army behind them. No human means of escape. It's not going to happen. Moses addresses the panicked masses and says, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. And the Lord miraculously opened the sea so the Israelites could pass through, and then he closed the sea over the Egyptian army. You know that? You know, in the New Testament, King Herod imprisoned the Apostle Peter and was planning to execute him the next day. That was his intention. And Peter was chained to two guards inside a locked cell with more guards on the outside. And the Lord sent an angel, you know this one? Who unlocked Peter's chains, led Peter through the open iron doors, past all the guards, out into the streets as a free man. Nothing is impossible to God. For God. With God. Nothing is impossible with God. He is able. Say it again. Turn to somebody and say, this time I really believe it. He is able. Paul's point is that our God is able. He doesn't want to leave any doubt within us about the ability and power of God. And so he pyramids this whole verse. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but what we have are words stacked upon words to paint this incredible picture of the vast resources of God for you and me. He just stacks the words on top of words on top of words. He says, one, he's able to do all that we ask or think. He says, no, wait. He's able to do more than we ask or think. Oh, no, wait. He's able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think. No, he said, that's not enough. He's able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than all we can ask or think. It's a pyramid. Don't you see it? It's a pyramid of praise declaring God's ability. God's ability exceeds our limits of what our minds can think. And they're pretty puny. I mean, if you're priding yourself on being a pretty knowledgeable person, and you compare yourself to God, you're going to get humbled. God's ability exceeds the limits of what our minds can think. Think about that. God's ability exceeds the limits of what our minds can think or what we can ask. Think of it this way. Some of you might remember this. I actually can't say that I do. But think of the days when gas stations had gas attendants who pumped your gas for you. And you pulled into the station and you tell the attendant you want 15 gallons of gas. And he says, no problem. He has way more than enough gas to fill you up. In fact, it isn't just an ordinary gas station. It's attached directly to the refinery behind the fence. So it has way more than enough gas to fill your car up. But it's more than that, this gas station, because the refinery is sitting on top of a huge oil field. And the oil is being pumped directly into the refinery. But it goes even better than that. This gas station is amazing because beyond that, this oil company has found a way to take water from the ocean, turn it into oil, pump it down into the oil wells, so it can be pumped out, refined, and sent to the gas station to fill your car. But that's not the best part. It's all free. Now that's a gas station. Now to him who's able to do far, exceedingly beyond all we can think or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. You know, I sometimes pride myself in being a realist. And I know some of you are out there. Some of you are who claim that name. Yeah. I'm Joe the realist. Just by example. May not apply. But. And I've actually made that statement before to people. I can recall... where I actually made that statement to somebody. I'm more of a realist. Certain situations that I assess and I think, that's never going to happen. Or in particular, in terms of people, they'll never be able to do that. That's not going to happen. You with me? I'm a realist. Paul rebukes that way of thinking. Rebukes it. I felt rebuked this week. Ephesians 3:20 declares that God is not handicapped by our puny imagination. He's not limited by our modest or our cynical expectations. And I added cynical this morning because I thought, you know, some of our expectations about what God can do, or just expectations in general in terms of life, are born out of cynicism. We're cynical. And cynicism, it's a bad gig. It's a bad way to go. It will ruin you, cynicism. And this is a rebuke in certain terms, because God, the God of the Bible, is in the business of exceeding human expectations, isn't he? The God of the Bible is in the business of exceeding human expectations. And we've got to learn. We've got to come to the place where we learn that God is able. Huh? He always has been. He always will be. There is no question. And he has chosen to make himself available and able to you and to me. We've got to come to a place where we really, genuinely believe that. Amen? He ends his prayer declaration by making this grand statement of the glory of God. And I want you to notice what he says about God and his glory. He says, to him be glory where? In the church. In the church. In the church. And I think this phrase is a good reminder to us that the church exists for the sole purpose of bringing glory to God. The church does not exist simply for the benefit of its members. I want to say that again. The church does not exist simply for the benefit of its own members. Just this week, we heard another pastor share a story about a group of a group of seniors. You make application, I'm not just. Group of seniors within their church who hold a deep disdain for young people. In fact, they directly said to the pastor, oh, we want them to be reached for God. We just don't want them in this church. Yeah. You see, when it comes to church, you cannot find a consumer mindset anywhere in the Scriptures. The idea that the church exists for me is the fundamental problem of the American church. That's the problem of the American church, is that we believe often that the church exists for me. The church exists to promote the glory of God. The church exists to bring glory and praise to God. He gets the limelight, not us. When it comes to the place where it's all about us, then it's time to go home. It's time to quit and go home, because he gets the limelight. He gets center stage, not us. And when we make the church about our needs and our wants and our desires and our likes and our dislikes, the church suffers. The church loses every time. The church loses when we make that the church about that. And so everything we do at the church should be done with the purpose of bringing glory to God. Right? You just feel it there. Every person who serves here in any capacity should perform his or her job to the best of their ability for the glory of God alone. And let's be honest. Sometimes we do things so we can be appreciated. Come on. Sometimes we do things to get the attention that we crave. I mean, let's be honest. We as humans, we do those kinds of things. So, no offense, but let me just say this. And I smile as I say it. God doesn't want people attracted to you or to me. Do you hear that? He wants people attracted to him. He has the help people need. We don't. He has the help that people need, not us. And the glory of God is paramount. We've got to get a hold of that. Amen. Let me finish with this verse. We'll invite God to minister to us. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." This may be one of the most misquoted verses in the entire New Testament. And I'll tell you why. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." It doesn't say what we can ask or think. The whole prerequisite of this verse is that you do ask. Not what you ask. Not the potential of asking. Not the intention of asking. But that you actually ask. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to ask. God is able to do what we ask. And so if you don't ask, is God not able? And so this one scripture should have a profound effect on how we pray, don't you think? And this is where it really started. It should prompt us to pray big prayers. One writer said this: "Pray not for crutches, but for wings." I like that. I like that. Pray not for crutches, but for wings. I don't go out and say some weird thing like talking about angels or something, you know. You understand what I'm saying? So, this is what I want us to do. Would you think about your upcoming year? You're 6 days in, January 6th. Think about your own life. Think about your marriage. Think about your family. Think about this vineyard. Think about its role in the community. What if you prayed big prayers for your own life and for the lives of others? What if you prayed big prayers? And what if God responded and said, "That's not big enough. I've got something bigger in mind for you, for your marriage, for your children, for your church. That's not big enough." What if you prayed big and bigger prayers? Amen? Let's pray. God, forgive us for being cynical. Forgive us for placing limits upon you.
You are my shepherd, I have no needs. You lead me by peaceful streams, and you
cause us, God, to see you as you really are, the God of all power, the God of all might, the God who is able, the God of manifestation, the God of all creation, the God who is willing, and the God who is vast in terms of his ability and resources, and the God who is compassionate and loving. And envisions us to be a better follower. Holy Spirit, just come and minister. Speak to our hearts. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, and
you hold my hand and you guide my steps. I can walk through the valley.
I invite you to respond to them.
What would you
really like to change in your life but haven't really seen really any results up to this point? In other words, what in your life would you consider big if it happened? What would you consider in your life big if it came to be, if it happened? Just as your response, you want to make a bigger prayer. Frame a bigger prayer to God in terms of what's going on in your life. Maybe even the church. You want to pray a bigger prayer for the church as well. Who's got a big prayer they want to ask God this year for their lives? If you've got a big prayer, and if you feel comfortable, I invite you just to step out into the aisle. Just step out into the aisle. If you've got a big prayer you want to ask God for this year about your life. Big prayer. God, my prayers have been too small. I've made even you too small, really, and my imagination, my mind, is much bigger. Would you come and do this big thing? God, just go beyond. Go far beyond the prayer that's being spoken right now. The prayer that's being communicated, that's being offered, God, go beyond that. Go beyond, God, the request that's being made. Just come and go beyond that. Way beyond it. And would you bring it to pass quickly? Not 6 months into the new year, but this month, Lord, would you come? We're asking, God, that you would do some big things this month. Yeah. I just want all of you to stand with me. God of all creation, God of power, God of might, God who knows no impossibilities. We offer, God, our lives to you. We offer our concerns. We offer our aspirations, our goals, our dreams. We offer our requests, our petitions. We offer our families. We offer our business. We offer our work. We offer our home. We offer our finance. We offer it all, God, to you. And we believe, God, today that you're able to do far more exceedingly beyond all we could think or imagine. So God, our New Year's resolution is to reorient our prayer life and start praying bigger prayers. Start asking God. Thank you, Lord, for today. It's just been a wonderful morning in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, Lord.